This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
More than 10 people shot in the New York City subway. Crazy. The guy who shot unloaded after throwing a gas canister into the car. So New York City on high alert. More details on that. Plus, Vladimir Putin says, forget about these talks with the Ukraine. We're pretty much at a dead end while Russia pushes further east. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney broadcasting from Newport Beach, California. How are you? Take a breath. Boy, it has been a wild couple of days, and here we are approaching Easter. All right, let's talk about what happened in New York, because I know people are talking about this. Somebody came up to me, it was like so early in the morning Pacific time, and said, do you know what happened in New York, before I had even gotten a text from any of my great sources or friends that live there. But, you know, I've heard this over and over again from people about how much violence is going on in their cities. And I just talked to someone in the great city of New Orleans who told me that there are down in the French Quarter and down by Charles Street and some of the other areas, you're completely fine and safe, and it's a wonderful city and they love it. But they talked about some of the problems that they have had with crime. I talked to my cousin and he talked about the problems they've had with crime in Chicago, and he wants to get out of Chicago in the next year or two, and he likes living there. Well, the entire world is looking at New York City, and the reason why is this. Apparently, the suspect deployed, as I mentioned, a gas canister, and opened fire. People in the subway car were trying to just escape the shooter, because, I mean, can they even see? And that's what he was obviously trying to do. When he opened fire, and the details that we have from this, 10 people were at this Brooklyn subway station this morning, and you had the shooter do what he did, like I said, throw the canister, and he had a gas mask on, and then the shooting started. It's not being investigated as an act of terrorism, but they're not ruling anything out. I just talked to someone in a department, and they're not ruling anything out at this time. And there are reports from people that were in other cars that were nearby that said there was commotion all of a sudden, and you heard a popping sound, and it was unclear what it was, but you could see that people were trying to get out of the way, so they were trying to scramble and not get hit by the shooter. And this is sad and shocking, and you see the yellow tape all up on the street level at that subway entrance, and, you know, 10 people initially were being reported as injured, and I think I said 10, but it's really, if you count all the smoke inhalation and everything, if we went with that, and shrapnel wounds, and then the panic of people running, it's more than 29, and I think you got to add it up as 29 for all those different injuries. And, you know, they're talking about, we'll find him, we're going to find out who did this, and it's shocking, right? I mean, it's shocking when you're just going about your normal day and you're doing what you would normally do, and this happened at rush hour, and you would get onto a train, and you're not thinking that all of a sudden you're going to be the victim, right? And how do you stop that? So he left the Brooklyn platform in panic, the guy who did this. He left the subway car filled with screaming commuters and bleeding victims. 10 people were shot. 19 others were taken to hospitals for injuries from the, like I said, smoke inhalation, shrapnel wounds. You had police helicopters all over the place for hours above the Manhattan-bound N train in Sunset Park area of Brooklyn. And they're investigating. They're finding a firearm, smoke devices, and a whole bunch of other things on the scene, and you know, really processing what the witnesses have said. And they were, you know, the mayor said in an interview, an interview with one of the local television stations in New York City, He said that there was some form of malfunction with the camera system at the subway station, so it's unclear whether only one camera was working or all of them weren't working or what, because that's the first thing everybody was thinking. Well, you gotta, there's got to be some evidence. You got to have zero in on the suspect. What is the identity of the guy? What does he look like? They do have a photo of a possible suspect, and they're pushing to confirm the identity. They think that the gunman's weapon jammed, that prevented him from continuing to fire and probably saved lives. It could have been so much worse, although it's outrageous, right? This is certainly unnerving, a city that has to be on guard by some of the things that have happened. New Yorkers are a little jittery about this kind of stuff. 8:30 in the morning, this was a Manhattan-bound N train in, again, Brooklyn Sunset Park. I would think I would be perfectly fine. If I had a child and I was taking them to school, I have to tell you, I would not be thinking that I have to be looking over my shoulder. And you do think that there's going to be photographic evidence. So that's disconcerting, too, as well, as to what was going on there, what malfunction and what information do they have? What can they process, right? The other thing that I talked about, and we'll talk more about this throughout the show, but and some of you already reacted in the mailbag, is Vladimir Putin. I mean, here we go again. Really, peace talks, honestly, the megalomaniac, do you think that he wants to have peace talks? I think he wants to save face. I think he wanted to win. We've said this over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. But Russia was pretty audacious stepping into the Ukraine, invading them. They knew it. They're not planning on peace talks. He spoke at a joint press conference with the Belarus president, and accused the Ukraine of violating agreements made during talks in Istanbul. He dismissed the images of bodies in cities that we've seen and said they were staged by the Ukraine, and said Russia's total focus is on supporting separatists in the eastern part of the Ukraine, and that's it, and saying that the war is going to continue until it's, he did say this. He said the war will continue until its full completion and the fulfillment of the tasks that have been set. He said Russia was forced to invade the Ukraine to protect ethnic Russians. This is what they're standing by. In the separatist territories, that's what he claims. And he has said this before, that this is the reason that we're doing it. It doesn't matter about the bodies in Mariupol, any of that. He's saying that's, it's not true. I mean, there's people that are dying from starvation. There's people that have been tortured. There's, you know, you name it, right? You name it. And look, I saw an interesting quote from a retired British general, Richard Barons, who is saying, like, what's happened to the Russians? He's estimating that the Russians have probably lost about 25% of the forces they brought to the Ukraine, saying, you know, they've had a beating and they'll only have a few weeks, you know, and it'll get better. So this is the opening still for the Ukrainians to really smash back at the Russians. I mean, look, there was a planned supposedly cyber attack by Russian military hackers on the power grid that was stopped, thank goodness. And it's nasty business. And this is affecting us. We have only seen the tip of the iceberg as to economically how this will affect America. We care about the people. We care about the humanity. But trust me, my friends, wherever you live, you're going to feel the fallout of this, coupled with what we're seeing with inflation and a few other things that are happening here in the U.S. So it's a rough time for a lot of people. It's rough seeing what Putin is doing almost unchecked. People, you know, other nations are reaching out, doing whatever they can, but the Ukrainians are pushing them back. Thank goodness. I mean, thank goodness. All right, Gilbert Gottfried, funny comedian, I thought he was pretty funny, has died. Details on that and a few other things that happened during the day.
You're unbelievable.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What is the ultimate survival food? If you are a prepper, then you know that the most important storage food is protein. Not just any protein, but a complete protein that supplies all 20 amino acids in their renatured and usable state. Renatured protein will be broken down into the 20 amino acids. These 20 amino acids will support muscle tissue repair, immunity, and the repair and proper functioning of every organ and tissue of your body. Carbohydrates and fats cannot do that. Stored pre-made meals, while convenient, are also already cooked and therefore denatured. The Max Planck Institute states that 50% of the amino acids making up a protein cooked to normal cooking temperatures are destroyed and therefore toxic to the liver, kidneys, and body. For the ultimate in non-denatured and virtually 100% assimilable protein that stores for decades at a time, consider getting Green Meadow Whey. The protein in Green Meadow Whey will support your energy, mood, strength, glutathione production, immunity, repair, and more. To learn more, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Still really hard to process what happened in New York. In one way, no, and in another way, yes. But it is, like I said at the top, more people complaining to me about crime and seeing what they're seeing in their own cities and suburbs that are pretty close to big cities. I mentioned Gilbert Gottfried. Some people found him funny. Some people found him annoying. That's comedy. Nobody ever agrees on comedians. I could like a couple of different comedians that you can't stand and vice versa. But I think he had some really funny moments. He was an actor. He was in film and TV. And he died after a long illness, according to his family. He was 67 years old. And he was a husband, a father, a friend, a brother, people are saying. He had two young children. He was living a happy life. He was known for his grating voice, and that's why he would work for some people and probably didn't for others. And he had some pretty blue comedy, and he debuted as a cast member on Saturday Night Live. Go back to 1980 to 81. He performed stand-up through the 80s. He was on Howard Stern's radio show a lot. He was a regular there. He had a bit part in Beverly Hills Cop 2. In the 2000s, he was a voice on The Family Guy, and he was a contestant on a reality series, Celebrity Wife Swap. He swapped wives with the late Alan Thicke, but his style was blue. I mean, and when he did stand up, he was filthy, and he had that high decibel that he hit. You know, he always hit a high note. So that's why I think, because not just the blueness, but I think his tone was one that people either just loved because it was unique and different, or it grated on them. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's him in a nutshell. And you know, it's interesting. There were people on Twitter today, which comedians came out of the woodwork to say what they thought about Gilbert and do the rip thing. You had Dane Cook, who said, Gilbert Gottfried was never not funny. He was a lovely guy, always friendly, and made my people happy, and made many people happy, really. Gilbert Gottfried made me laugh at times when laughter didn't come easily. What a gift. That's what Jason Alexander wrote in a tweet. Judd Apatow, who's produces many, many comedies, and is definitely out there, and people know him, a writer and director. He said, nobody was funnier than at real Gilbert on a roll. He could put you into convulsive hysterics. He was also the sweetest man. His podcast is a comedy treasure. What a terrible loss. So Gilbert Gottfried, dead at the age of 67. One of the things that I'm sure Gottfried wrestled with, and what comedians wrestled with in the beginning of the pandemic, is how do they handle that? What kind of jokes are you making? And certainly at the beginning, there was nothing to laugh about. But we've talked on this show, as I make a turn here, about, with odds and ends, about this recent outbreak of COVID-19 cases, especially in Washington, D.C. You had dozens of Washington officials, you know, Congress people, including, who tested positive. They went to the Gridiron Club dinner. So now is super spreading something that people are thinking about. This was a single event, a large-scale single event. And at this stage in the pandemic, a large event, I don't think you're thinking about, I don't think you're thinking about that it's a super spreader event. I can tell you that here in Newport Beach at this conference that I'm at, they do the daily health checks, and it's easy. They have what they call a chat bot, and you check in, and do you have a temperature, do you have this, do you have that? But you didn't have to show a COVID card. So there are lots of tools when it comes to this. But a lot of the tools have been put back in the chest because it certainly, or in the closet, because it certainly looked like we're coming out on the other side of this. And I think there was a lot of concern about super spreading events in the beginning because it would put people in the hospital, and as the consequences, the intensive care units exploded, and then people dying, which of course is the worst of the worst. But now with the vaccination and what's happening in communities, is it mild illness that doesn't require you to be hospitalized? And it's a march of, you know, you keep hearing this person got COVID, this person got COVID. It's a kind of a march of that. And we've seen that a lot in March and in April too, by the way. It's one of those things where we're weighing this. You know, we're weighing what's going on. That's what I think. That whatever you do, you just pay attention to the signs around you. I mean, that's what it is. You know, we saw the collapse of so much of our economy, the change completely in the way we do life because of COVID. We lost people. We saw people bury at least five. I mean, you know, we don't have to relive this in living color here behind the mic with me. We don't have to do that. But you know. So when you hear about an event and that happens, yeah, it kind of raises your hackles. But I know people that have been at weddings. I've been in places where I've been in public. I haven't been with thousands of people, but certainly a bigger crowds than I had been in a long time. And I hope that we do see that we can have that continuing opening of life. So when we get these trickle down stories of, and I talked with somebody in Philly today, that like Philadelphia indoor masking again because they're seeing that they have too many people coming down with COVID. I mean, is this where we're headed again? It's like we're on a merry-go-round and we are trapped and can't get off, and we're strapped down. And do we want to take the strap off and let us go? Let us walk off the ride because we don't want to keep going round and round in circles. And I thought we were done with this in a sense, because you're never done. I mean, a virus can whack you at any time. We know that from the viruses that exist now. So it's just something to watch, something to pay attention to, and just know your surroundings, know where you're going, and make your own decisions. I think people have to make their own decisions on this, unless we see another knock on anything I can think of, another horrific outbreak where we're talking about you know, deaths and lots of intensive care units being taken up. That is, you know, absolutely the worst of the worst. And we don't want to see that again, right? No. And for you in the Midwest, I mean, what a rough day. And what with blizzards, tornadoes, and gosh, my pals in Iowa. I mean, it's April and people are battling it out in the Great Plains. Nasty weather. I mean, dangerous stuff. Possible tornadoes Tuesday and Wednesday, not just Tuesday, Wednesday. And the historic blizzard over the Dakotas. The National Weather Service is even predicting a level 4 out of 5 moderate risk of severe weather for parts of Iowa, not just on Tuesday, but possibly into Wednesday, and then a large part of the Mississippi Valley on Wednesday. The potential for all of you listening, I know there's people listening, you could get some large hail. And you know what that's like. When they say large hail, there's nothing like, my friends, hail that's like a baseball slapping into your car. I mean, forget it. Or your roof. No. I have gone through that. Not so much the big hail. It's been a long time for the big hail, but gone through a lot of those kinds of storms. You know, I've talked about it on the air, dodging tornadoes, terrible winds, all of that. You know, in Bismarck, they're talking about 1.5 feet of snow. 1.5 feet. In April, right? So now as I sit here in Newport Beach, California, it's a little chilly. I feel very, very fortunate, my friends, to be here. I do, because I know what some of you are going through. And you get weary when you get hit with snow. All right, inflation. Oh, I hate these numbers. These are ugly numbers. They're simple numbers, and I'm just going to say them. In your mind, just process this. Do you think inflation is high? If I was having a guessing game here, do you think inflation is high? Well, if you've been paying attention to this show or anything else, you know it is. It's a new 40-year high, 8.5%. 8.5%. And so much of that is gas prices. So when gasoline really soared up, that hit people like nobody's business into the stratosphere in March. Not good. So the consumer price index is up at 8.5. That's the fastest pace since December of 1981. According to the Labor Department, it's their stats that I'm giving you here. But that's a very big, 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 big number. And gasoline prices were the chief culprit. They jumped 18.3%. That accounted for more than half of the overall rise in cost. Average unleaded gas hit a record $4.33 a gallon last month before dipping back down to $4.11 by Monday. That's according to AAA. Whew, yikes. What are your thoughts? We're headed to the mailbag next.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
Inflation keeps increasing, and it shows no signs of letting up. Lance Pry reports.
Inflation climbed higher to a new four-decade high, 8.5% in March, forcing Americans to pay even more for basic goods. latest uptick marked the highest annual rate of increase of inflation since December of 1981, according to data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics released Tuesday morning. Excluding volatile food and gas prices, the CPI still jumped to 6.5% year over year.
In related news, Democratic Senator Joe Manchin blamed the Biden administration and the Federal Reserve for soaring inflation, calling it a disservice to the American people. Food prices rose 8.8% over the past 12 months, while gas prices were up 48% on the year after an 18.3% increase in March. You're listening to USA Radio News. The recent COVID-19 lockdown in Shanghai, China, and video that shows people screaming out their windows because they're not allowed to leave their home should serve as another reminder to Americans of what the left tried to do in this country. This, according to Ohio Republican Representative Jim Jordan. He spoke to Fox News.
So remember when the governor of Michigan said you couldn't leave your suburban yes. house to go to your cabin in northern Michigan because even though you'd be out in the middle of nowhere where you could socially distance, remember when she said you could go to the hardware store but you could buy certain things but you couldn't buy garden seeds because after all they wouldn't want you out gardening outside? That's how ridiculous it's gotten.
President Joe Biden traveled to Iowa on Tuesday and announced he's suspending federal rules that restrict ethanol in gasoline. He said it's a move to fight surging inflation, adding it should trim about a dime a gallon at a limited number of stations. You're listening to USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Welcome to the mailbag for this show. Remember, 24/7, I say it all the time. Don't be shy. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Send me your thoughts on anything. A lot of people had thoughts. You must have just immediately sent them off in earlier in the day about what happened in New York City. I got this one from Jack, who said, "This is why I don't live in New York City. No offense to New Yorkers. In fact, I did live in New York for a very short period of time, Kate, and I enjoyed the city. I will say that it was in the late 90s. That was years ago, and it was at a good time period there, and I felt like I saw cops everywhere. I actually lived in Manhattan. But what do? You are absolutely vulnerable when it comes to subways, and when you come to think of it, when you think of where do people want to attack even the local nutballs. So why does that Jack, you know what, go into a subway and go after innocent people, hardworking people who are just trying to get their lives, I'm sure, back on track, the working people, go underground and start shooting at them. Throw tear gas in there, put on your mask, you little sissy, and then start shooting. It makes me absolutely crazy, absolutely sick that somebody did that to those people. And now they're scarred. They'll probably have whatever psychological damage they have. And they're lucky they survived. And if his gun had, in fact, jammed, that's a good thing because it prevented probably people from getting killed and people in other cars seeing it, people trying to escape. It just all is awful, awful, awful. Your sentiments absolutely are the same as mine. Sickening, the everyday guy, probably woman, maybe even children on the subway just trying to do what they do, just trying to get from point A to point B. We just went through the pandemic. They were in a vulnerable city, and now we're taking a breath, but there's no breath to be had here in Brooklyn. Here's this one from Ann. Ann says, wow, what a chicken. He throws a gas canister to blind the people, puts on a gas mask, and then he starts to shoot. That is just appalling. And I hope that they nail him to the wall, whoever it was. I mean, the thought of having anyone I know be in that situation, and those people in New York, and there are some good people in New York. I have friends that used to live in New York. Brooklyn is one of those cities that really got it together, Kate. And they reestablished some old neighborhoods, and people were getting back to, like the rest of us, what we do every single day, going to the store, feeling like we don't have to look over our shoulder, not worrying about a mask. And now it's not about a mask. It's about a man with a mask throwing tear gas into a subway car where you are trapped like a rat. I bet that things like this are going to chase more and more people out of New York City. There are already people chased away because of the high prices and because of COVID. Yeah. You know, New York, I actually know, and they weren't all New Yorkers, they just wanted to experience it. I know 8 people, and I know them well, like we're friendly. I know 8 people that had young families, some of them had families that were, the kids were almost out of high school, and then some single people. I know a lot of people that left New York City because of the prices, because of the high prices, because of COVID, because of feeling trapped in a big building and paying a lot of money and not wanting to live like that. And they fled. And now, you know, again, violence can happen anywhere. There's nutballs, idiots, etc. I mean, I have stronger words than that. But, you know, of course, again, going in, nice of him, throws on his mask, tries to just completely leave them even more vulnerable. They were vulnerable anyway. It would really make me think about taking the subway. I don't think I would take the subway. I had a great conversation with somebody who is a VP, and who cares that he's a VP, and he wasn't that kind of guy, but at a dinner at the conference that I'm at in Newport Beach, California, I'm going to tell you the story, because he had a daughter who was working in Chicago, is working in Chicago at the Hancock Building, and it's a very big building, and they had, it's downtown Chicago, and they had to start coming back to work, and she would be on the L, that was the train, and felt kind of scared because she would be on the train with hardly anyone on the train. So they got her a car and said, no, just drive to work, because he did it with her. He said, I want to see what this is like. And they felt vulnerable sitting in this car, because there were things that were happening to people in other cities. So he decided that wasn't worth it. And I mentioned my cousin at the top, who lives in Chicago, and he's a Texan and moved there, married somebody from there, and they had lived in a neighborhood that was like a neighborhood. You know, you're in the shadow of a city, not far from the city, but they're seeing the people are ripping off the catalytic converters, and there was a shooting in his neighborhood because somebody was stealing one of those, and it is scary times, and for a lot of people, and you know, know your surroundings. Be aware of where you are when you travel. And this isn't a lecture. It's just a reminder, right? It's a reminder. Now, those people, would I have looked over my shoulder? More people are going back to work. It's 8:30, broad daylight in the morning. You simply scoot into the subway, go underground. Usually you're not there very long. You're on the platform. You get on the car. You're not thinking that's going to happen. And I would think that ridership, I really mean this, I think ridership would probably drop down. Here's one from Keith, and Keith says, Kate, lucky you being in California. Newport Beach is a place that I've gone to a couple of times. It's just a kind of a, I think you described it right on one of your shows. It's just a kind of a quaint little town, and it has that feel of being on the water, and it's on this peninsula. It has a couple of piers. I remember being on the pier, and I remember thinking, oh, that's like an old school amusement park, and I like the Ferris wheel. I think it's a neat kind of place, an idyllic kind of place in Orange County, California, where they certainly go their own way and, you know, are set apart from the rest of Southern California. So enjoy the rest of your time there. If you have a chance, jump on that Ferris wheel because you'll be able to have great ocean views. All right, so thanks for that. I had, of course, lived in California, been all over California. I'd never been to Newport Beach, so you describe it like I described it. Yeah, it's just a small town with a couple of piers, and it's got, you know, surrounded by water, and people are boating or they're on paddle boards doing that kind of thing. Yeah. Here's one from Bob. He says, Kate, Easter is such an important day in my life, both from the commercial side, I'll admit it because I like the candy, and from the religious aspect. I think it's a great time of renewal for so many of us that are Christians, and I know you are, and I know that Easter, I'm sure, in your family was celebrated. In my family, it was when we were required to wear ties and eat ham and have Easter eggs and have an Easter egg hunt and whatever. But it's interesting, the world that we're in now. I think Easter takes even a bigger significance, and I do think it is that time for renewal, and I think it is one of those moments where you should look around and, if anything, be very grateful for what you have and where you're at. When we look at what's happening in the Ukraine, when we see what's happening in the United States, things, horrible things that have happened to people, and that's the world, and we know things turn and ebb and flow, but if you're living the good life and you're on, you know, you're upright, I think it's a time to be very, very grateful. So I wish you a happy, happy Easter. Easter was a time, you described Easter like my family. Easter was a time where, you know, I'm sure we had candy. I'm sure, like, there was Halloween, and of course there was. But Easter was, it was about, you know, you get the big chocolate Easter bunny, and you dressed up big time and went to church, and family came over, and it was because the weather, you know, the weather always turned, and it was spring. Spring is here. It's renewal time. It's all of that wrapped into one. And yes, the Easter Bunny visits as a kid, and I think I'm sure I saw pictures of the Easter Bunny. That whole imagery of thinking, I mean, really, the Easter Bunny's coming, he's delivering all this candy, whatever we thought, I don't know. But it was a combination of all of it. It's a good feel. It's a good feeling, because when you think of holidays, you come out of Christmas, and that's the past, and that's the end of the year, and then you are bouncing into a new year, and of religious holidays, this time period for everybody, not just Christians, is that time of the spring where something new is sprung up in our lives. So for those that are having the blizzard conditions, something very different has sprung up in your life, that's for sure, rather than what you would hope would normally be. Okay, weather might be a little cool, but not terrible. So, I know, yeah, terrible. All right, let's move over to this one. This one is from Frank, and Frank says, Kate Delaney, I've been listening to your show. One of my friends is a big fan. He listens all the time. He told me about you. And so when I'm running in the morning, I actually listen to what you've talked about because it's so spot on as to what's going on in the world. You're right. What's happening in my backyard and your backyard may be a little bit different, but there's so much that we all have in common. And if anything, even if we have all different points of view, I think Americans should embrace the fact that we have freedom, even if we're frustrated by some of the nonsense in Washington, as you call it, and the regulations and inflation and whatnot, and the dreaded three letters, I heard you say that, the IRS, we still have so much to be grateful for, and namely that is freedom, people. Freedom, absolutely, 100%. We wake up, we do what we want to do for the most part, right? Rich, poor, or somewhere in between, you still have the gift of freedom living in the United States. All right, thanks for all of you who sent your thoughts into the mailbag.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
She's in our virtual green room right now. Rita Giuliani joins us, and she's written a couple of books, actually. We want to talk to her about three families. Rita, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
So what led to your writing? I mean, I said you've written a couple of books. You certainly have.
I've written four.
Yeah.
And I'm currently writing my fifth novel. Writing can be looked upon as a craft and an inborn talent. There's something that is natural, though, for sure. It can be acquired and learned. And as I consider it self-fulfilling and educational and meaningful. And for me, there's no greater pastime or hobby, not to mention it's a wonderful source of enjoyment, extreme pleasure, and it's a diversion from the pressures many of us, you know, we experience in life. And I have always been enthusiastic about and passionate about writing. And for me, it's a form of release. And honestly, the research enables me to formulate ideas, sharpen my mind, and I think it gives me a sense of accomplishment. So I do find writing novels very challenging and inspiring. And as I said, it also helps me develop my vocabulary, grammatical skills, and I find it very fascinating, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and what's interesting about you, too, is you're a member of the Romance Writers of America.
Yes.
And in this book, you have romance, you have love, you have hate. So tell us what Three Families is about. Somebody wants to get this book. What kind of a story can they expect?
I can honestly say, I objectively and unequivocally say that they will not be disappointed in taking the time to read this novel. As the plot unfolds, the reader will immediately begin to grasp the intensity and the drama that exists among these three families. I want to say at the outset, the novel is written conservatively, but at the same time, it can provoke pity, some outrage, sympathy, revulsion. However, I can almost guarantee there's nothing abrasive about the novel, and it will not create a feeling of distaste or aversion, despite the fact that, you know, these three families are from very diametrically different backgrounds. They clash. There is dissension. Some of the characters are very opinionated and controlling. And on the contrary, let me assure the listeners that there's nothing offensive or insulting about the novel. I think it's fast-moving. It's romantic. It deals with obsession, manipulation, and fear. The main characters are Alfredo Gismondi. He's an Italian Catholic living in the North. Rachel Gassner, who is Jewish, she also lives in the North. And Sarah Langley, who is a Southern Baptist. And they come together under very highly unusual and extraordinary circumstances. They ultimately face very traumatic situations, unlike anything they ever experienced before in their lives. However, they do demonstrate and exemplify the strength and the courage to overcome these, each crisis. But because of their background and their culture, they harbor very strong opinions and religious beliefs. You know, obviously they represent very divergent and completely opposite viewpoints.
Right, right, their backgrounds. So what do you hope people take away from reading this novel, Three Families?
There could be a happy ending, number one, despite the opinionated individuals that are represented in this novel. The story gets very involved and complex. I think there's a lot of pace, tedious situations, which can be overcome. See,
all right, so that's it. So you could apply that to your own life is what I think.
Exactly.
That's why the three families, yeah.
Yes, that's what I was hoping to achieve.
Yeah.
That, people could use it as, like a mirror of their own lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense, and I love that you put those three backgrounds. I'm from back east. I grew up in New Jersey and New York, and so I grew up in that kind of culture where you had all kinds of different people, and you can see how you develop the characters with the clashes. So interesting, and you really flesh the characters out well. So people that read this book will get a sense of all of them. You can get Rita Giuliani's book, Three Families, and her other books as well on Amazon and wherever great books are sold. So, Rita, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you, Kate. And thanks again. It was a pleasure. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you. Once again, thanks to Rita for that. And now we turn to travel. I talk a lot about traveling, taking this show all over. You know that I'm broadcasting this week from Newport Beach, California, where weather's tricky. Sunny in Southern California, but chilly. And, you know, we got snow in other parts of the country, which is crazy. So maybe I feel very, very fortunate about that. But in traveling, I've heard some really horror stories from a lot of people who came to this conference where I am from all over the country, from the East Coast and the South and the Midwest and just about any place you can imagine. And airports are clogged with people. JetBlue had to cancel more flights because they've got crew shortages. This is one of the things that continues to plague the airlines, not just JetBlue, but they said that they had to cancel flights over the weekend, and they had a small schedule adjustment for the rest of April because of the challenging situation. You know, they hired, I remember this, they hired like 3,000 new crew members, and they have staffing constraints. You know how when you walk around your neighborhood and the restaurant doesn't have enough waiters or waitresses, and you go to different stores, even some of the box stores, they don't have enough people. They have big signs up. You go to fast food and they're paying $17 an hour in some places, 401k benefits, all kinds of things to try to encourage people to want to work there, to want to be hired. There are more cuts that JetBlue is having from May through the summer, they said, with their airlines, because they're bringing on these new employees and they anticipate a lot of industry challenges. And I've talked to a few people in the industry out here in a different perspective about jet fuel. So if you are traveling anywhere this summer with your family, pack your patience. It's going to be a wild, wild ride. JetBlue is so desperate, they're offering flight attendants $1,000 bonuses if they don't call out from work through the end of May. Flight attendants are also eligible for like $100 bonuses for picking up open trips. Also, part-time attendants would get $500 for meeting attendance calls, because they got to do it. They got to throw money at this however they can because of what they're competing with and what the challenges are. And then with so many people, they're calling it like revenge travel, sick of being isolated, wanting to travel, flights are filling up all over the place, and you've got a lot of airports that are jammed, especially overseas, with Americans trying to go overseas, because there initially was some cheap rates. So understaffed airports and airlines from Australia to Europe, they're struggling in their own way because they've got this rush of travelers with long queues, and flight disruptions will probably persist as you've got the Easter weekend that's coming up, and that's a big travel day for a lot of people. And so pack the patience. I've said it again and again and again. I mean, in fact, passengers checking in at Sydney's airport this week waited for hours in queues, kind of snaking out lines outside the terminals. So they have staff problems there, 50%, as high as 50% at Qantas. The airport's workforce is more, like less, a little more than half of its normal size. The UK, they've been hit by disruptions and flight cancellations. So here in the US, we're seeing it, but it's even worse in some other destinations, desirable destinations outside of the United States. People who are traveling from not just the United States, but from other countries, it's pretty nasty. How about space travel? We've talked a lot about space travel. Do you really want to go into space? Would you want to go into space if someone comped you a flight? Because it's outrageous the amounts they're asking for. Now there's this space balloon company that's going to have luxury cabins. I'm really serious about this. Somebody sent me a snapshot of what they were seeing, and it's the newest thing in space tourism. I mean, it's all about space tourism. We can't get things right here on Earth, but okay, let's go into space. So Space Perspective, it's called. On Tuesday, they revealed these illustrations of what they call swish cabins. They're going to start, they hope anyway, start launching from Kennedy Space Center in Florida in late 2024. 600 tickets. This is the thing. They're selling tickets. 600 tickets have so far been sold at $125,000 each. So it's got high windows, deep seats, dark purple tones and subdued lighting, and the balloon reaches 30 kilometers or 20 miles, just a little bit lower, much lower actually than Virgin Galactica, which goes over 50 miles higher, Blue Origin, which is like 62 miles above the sea level, but it's still, you're up there in space. 20 miles is still far higher than commercial airplanes, so it ascends about 6 miles high. It would be wild, I have to admit, but they'd have to comp my flight. Maybe we could do a remote from there. Just a thought. Hang with us.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.